Man, I'm excited. Fernando Tatis Jr. is back. Padres signed a Cy Young winner. Jay, this is great.
The season is saved, Kevin. Is that what you're saying? All they needed was Tatis to come back. Although, I mean, let's not make too little of what it's like to have the National League's best player back in your lineup. Or I don't know if he's baseball's best player, but he's right up there. Not a whole lot of guys you'd rather have on your team than Fernando Tatis Jr. He showed again yesterday how important he is to this club. And playing right field, if I remember right, he had three routine fly balls, and I don't think he fielded anything else. There wasn't
a
single
out there.
He chased
down a triple in the corner.
Into the corner, right, which was going to be a triple no matter who was playing right field. So, for one game anyway, he was fine. It kept him from diving. Although it's funny, I don't think there were a lot of balls at shortstop yesterday, except for the one incredible play that Jake Cronenworth made on the ball that Rhys Kinnear, I guess, out of just reaction, threw up his pitching hand, which is probably not in the pitching 101 handbook, but it did turn into a big out at the time and saved them a run, and Kinnear was able to continue pitching. So as long as he's okay, then it worked out. But what a play by Cronenworth to sort of change direction there. It was almost not, and I'm not comparing it at all to this Ozzie Smith, Jeff Burrows play, but it reminded me just a little bit of that, where the guy had to change direction and was still able to make a play there.
So
that was all the good news.
I disagreed with Jay Stengel's use of words, as I know you would. He talked about it being a momentum changer. He meant was how big the play was. It was 1-1. There's a runner on third. They had a possibility of going down again to the Diamondbacks. Right. And you just – it's not momentum, but you don't know what happens as situations change in a game.
He saved a run. It was a run-saving play. That's what it was.
So as far as what Tatis did, look, there are a lot of great players. Well, not a lot. There are a number of great players in Major League Baseball.
Correct.
Special is the level above great, especially the word that we use too much is just great all the time. Special is above that. And special is what special does. And what Tatis does is special things. When you come off the IL, your team's in a four-game losing streak. You give them their first lead, their second lead. You give them their big cushion in the eighth inning. You go 4-for-5. You hit two home runs. That's special. And as far as how the day went yesterday, the Padres will take that every day. They'll look like geniuses. If he gets three opportunities, it's boring as heck. He's out there dancing, looking around in right field. Exactly what they wanted to happen yesterday. This will be a different deal. I don't think that right field here in Denver is really that hard. It is a much bigger outfield. It's going to be very interesting to see how this goes.
Well, it's just a lot of space, and I think, you know, early in games you get this, you know, there it's a bit of a sun field out there. I know first base is really bad late in around sunset there, just as before the sun goes down. So I'm assuming in right field it's a little bit like that as well. But you're right. I mean, they will take yesterday any day. It was a bullpen day that worked out very well. Craig Stammen bounced back from a couple of shaky outings and looked more like the Craig Stammen that we've seen most of this year, which has pretty much been Stammen's MO. I mean, he has a couple bad outings, but he finds himself and then he rattles off, good outings in a row. So we'll see if that's the case tonight. We might as well stay with pitching as long as we're on the subject. Ryan Weathers has not been good for three straight starts. Now he's in a difficult environment facing a decent team, a team that's obviously better at home, and the Padres have talked about he needs to perform better. And I guess all we can do is tune in at 5:40 Pacific time and see if Ryan Weathers pitches like he has the last three games or like he did, you know, most of the time before that.
20 runs in three games, 11 and two thirds innings. And right. I'll be honest with you, every time I was somewhat motivated to try and dig into what was going on with Ryan Weathers, first off, I was on Tatis watch this week. There's other things going on. And I was like, let's just wait and see how this guy pitches next time at Coors Field. So he's having trouble finishing guys. His command has been just awful. Mm-hmm. And by that, we mean not just walks, but missing in the strike zone badly. So we'll see. They go against Antonio Senzatella, I believe, tonight. One of the pitchers they've had some success against. A guy who has been as good as anyone. Now, he got beat up by the Giants in his last start. German Marquez, they go against tomorrow. But this guy had like a sub-2 ERA for like 12 starts or something before that Giants game. And he faced the Padres a couple times in there, and it was not good for the Padres. And then they faced Austin Gomber, who before they scored, what was it, 4 runs in one inning on August 1st. I would say that's not good news for the Padres either. But
he hasn't. He hasn't been the same pitcher since he came back from that injury. He didn't look. He didn't look good that day at Petco. But again, no way to know. That doesn't mean he's not going to be good on Wednesday. And he has had success against the Padres up until that last game.
Who's pitching for the other team and how the Padres bats are doing is not the biggest issue. Who's pitching for the
Padres? It can be.
Who's pitching for the Padres is the big issue. Yes.
And who's pitching for the Padres after Ryan Weathers? So we have the Ryan Weathers tonight, who has not been good for three starts, and he certainly has no momentum entering this game. And then tomorrow night,
he could turn it around, but what we're saying is factual about him. So
exactly. And then we have no idea about tomorrow night. And then Wednesday is Jake Arrieta, who was picked up and officially signed this morning. So I assume we'll be joining the Padres later today, or I guess at the latest tomorrow in Denver. And tell me about Jake Arrieta and what he is a Cy Young Award winner, although that was several years ago, even longer ago than Blake Snell won a Cy Young Award. So what's Jake Arrieta been like? Is there any hope that he's been better than his numbers suggest that he's been?
So as of yesterday, the Padres were talking about, first off, they really wanted Jake Arrieta. You're going to bring up maybe Daniel Camarena to start tomorrow. We need to put this signing of Jake Arrieta in perspective. As much as it reminds us of many signings that the Padres have made in off seasons in the past where, but it's not the off season. It is a warm body, desperate times, desperate measures. It's a veteran who maybe changes the side of the mound he's pitching on. Maybe he goes back to his changeup versus, some other pitches he's been using this year. Whatever, 4 or 5 innings, where else were you getting those is basically the thing. That's all. I'm not denigrating Jake Arrieta. I'm telling you the Padres are thrilled to get Jake Arrieta. Not thrilled because, oh my gosh, this is going to be what puts us over the top, but thrilled because veterans love veterans. Relievers love starters because relievers are pitching too much. It's not that they haven't embraced the Daniel Camarenas, the Reese Kinnairs. They don't, appreciate them, don't want the best for them, aren't supporting them. Veterans want guys who've been there before, right, wrong, or whatever. Jake Arrieta has been there before, and he is going at least 4 innings when he goes. This is not anything to be terribly excited over, but it is a move that was needed to get somebody. And I mean, that's where they're at. This is dire what is happening with the rotation right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, because I'm looking and you basically have Snell and Musgrove and I don't know, Weathers maybe, and bullpen days, where Stammen starts and goes a couple innings. I mean, I certainly don't expect to see Stammen getting, there was talk I know about stretching him out, but stretching him out to his max at this point would be, oh my gosh, we got 4 innings out of him. That would be fantastic.
Really well.
So there's still a lot of innings to account for. And Joe Musgrove did save them on Saturday night, and he was terrible early on. But he basically had to go out there just as Weathers did a couple days before that. And Weathers got through a couple more innings where it was like a run here and a run there. Musgrove had to do that, and he had to give him innings, and he did. And it didn't result in a win, but it resulted in having some bodies that were fresher for yesterday's game, which did turn into a win. So Musgrove gets a little bit of an assist, I think.
And it allowed Eric Hosmer to stand up in that clubhouse and go, "We all got to be like Joe." That's not what he said, but something like that. I mean, look, Joe Musgrove is giving everything, and we can debate the efficacy of clubhouse meetings, but a guy like Joe Musgrove is a guy that you want, man. It's just, wow. It is. I wrote in the newsletter today, if you had to bet everything you have on a Padres starter who would go five innings, and that's a line I've used with a lot of players, including Joe Musgrove, in conversations like, hey, Joe, what's the matter with you? Why can't you go longer? Look, if I had to bet my life you go five innings, that's you're the guy I'd do it on. But, you know, these types of things. And then he goes 39 pitches in the first inning the other night, and I'm like, well, maybe I was wrong.
There goes everything I have.
He went five innings. Right. So Kevin Acey was right for the first time in 2021. No, one thing I've been saying all along is, where are these guys going to find innings to fill out the season? I didn't realize that it would be this bad, because you didn't know, you know, that you didn't know that, like, 1 hour after the trade deadline, Chris Paddock was going to be throwing a bullpen session and feel a twinge in his oblique, right, and they were going to have to shut him down. You didn't know Yu Darvish was going to go on the IL again. So, Jay, how much does AJ Preller bear responsibility for what's happening? I think we've talked about before. We both accept, hey, you don't want to give up Robert Hassel for Berrios or Kyle Gibson or something? Okay, fine. But here you are.
Right. And I think I made this point last time, that if I'm going to be critical of what Preller did, it's more in the sense of not having anybody at AAA that you could plug in here. And I don't even know if Reese Kinnear counts as that guy. He doesn't seem to be somebody that you can just bring up and pitch. Somebody tweeted at me yesterday, somebody who's very reasonable, I should add, and said, how is it that they don't have anybody in the system that could start today's game, meaning yesterday, start this game and give them four innings? And I don't have a good answer for that. I mean, maybe Reese Kinnear would have been that guy. Maybe Miguel Diaz could be that guy. But again, four innings doesn't seem like a lot to ask. But right now, they don't seem to have anybody. Maybe it's Daniel Camarena that can come up and start and go four. But I do think that that's an area where we could and will and should look back and say, where was the depth at AAA or even AA, where you had guys that, you know, come July and August that you could have used to go for four or five innings? You know, nobody's expecting to call up a guy from El Paso and have him go seven. I mean, most of the guys on the staff don't go seven, but a guy that could go four or five innings, I think that's an area where we can say, okay, what was going on there? And, you know, at this point, you'd have to consider that to be a mark against, you know, how this roster was built, and roster going 30 deep as opposed to 26 deep.
Right, or 32 or 28 or 34 deep. Or whatever it is. Yeah, because now they've had a lot of things go wrong, but I think some of these with the pitching was, if not predictable, it was more than possible.
Because guys are, you know, Morahone, I mean, obviously it hurt early in the year losing a guy like Morahone. You know, probably expected more from Denelson Lamet than they've gotten. But still, that's the kind of thing that you know, this is how you ended up, and you ended up with not enough depth, I guess.
Right. You know, I could go all the way back to the legitimate excitement over Michel Baez, but we're now talking about March. So that's where, you know, over time here, and AJ Preller thinks about all this stuff, right? I mean, he does. So, you know, maybe one day we'll get the story of why in the world was a warm body not somebody? Because guess what? You just signed a warm body. Well, 6.88 ERA.
Right. And I think I would bet on this, that they were also counting on Mackenzie Gore, that at this point in the season, I think we talked early on that, you know, look, Mackenzie Gore is going to be up this year. It's going to be, maybe it's August or whatever. Meanwhile, it's August the 16th, I think, if I'm reading my watch correctly. It's August the 16th. The minor league season only has, what, about 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks left in it. Mm-hmm. Where's Mackenzie Gore? You know, he's still not pitching in games, right? I mean, Preller, and I didn't hear this call yesterday, and I know Jeff wrote about this, and I think Preller talked a little bit about that. And he said, he's making progress in Peoria. I forget the exact phrase. Well, if he's making progress, he's been down there for several weeks now, and he's still not in a game in the minor leagues. So how much progress is he really making if you're not putting him out there in the minors? And if he's not in the minors, we're sure not going to see him up here anytime soon. And look, I'm not putting that on Gore or anything. It's obviously he's got issues. that they've been very quiet about, and maybe they don't want to expose him to the minors any longer. But that's another guy that I'm sure they were counting on that hasn't come up. And I'm not buying that at this point that he's made great progress, because if he really made great progress, you'd have him pitching in games.
Yes, I think that in recent times, the past week, he has made – they're finally believing it. And I say that, I can't tell you why, but I really believe it's legitimate. That does not – I'm not arguing with what you just said. I'm just saying that legitimate progress is a – it's a nebulous term. If you want a master class in circular answer that sounded like it said something, go listen to what AJ Preller said about Mackenzie Gore yesterday. But your point being that at the beginning of the season, there's five or six guys that they're like, we got all the depth in the world. Well, yeah, that was the beginning of the season. It was not the trade deadline. Maybe they tried to get a warm body, and it still was going to cost them somebody that they said no. All I know about is the guys that were better than warm bodies, but that they didn't think were better than Chris Paddock, Ryan Weathers. Look, and those two guys were on the trade block too, and they were being talked about. Other teams weren't taking them. The teams that were trading were taking prospects, and the Padres had four prospects that everybody wanted, and they weren't going to give up. Okay, awesome. You don't make the playoffs this year. That's something you have to answer for. Is basically my assertion.
This Hot Lava Padres podcast segment is brought to you by Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, located in Escondido and serving the San Diego community for over 60 years.
Who has the best deals in the auto game? It's got to be Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, the auto all-stars. Right now, lease a new 2021 Ram 1500 Warlock Edition, Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo, or Jeep Renegade Latitude for only $198 a month, or 0% APR and no payments for 90 days. Head to Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Escondido, San Diego, where we make shopping easy. Find these deals during the Make This the Summer event today.
I would agree. The other topic, since we're still on pitching, and I guess there's no reason to get off of it right now, is the Larry Rothschild situation, where, you know, he's become the latest punching bag on social media,
and my emails,
and your emails, and I'm someone that, I mean, we've talked about this many times, and I've talked about it on here about coaching and everything at the big league level, and I'm not sure how much difference it makes with certain people. And look, I'm not denigrating Darren Balsley in any way whatsoever. Darren Balsley did a very good job here for many, many years. I think I read that when he resigned, if that's what we're calling it, that a year ago, that his teams finished in the top five, I believe, in ERA five times in 16 years. That tells me that there were 11 years that they didn't finish in the top five. I think Larry Rothschild's group, and I haven't looked in the last few days, but when I looked about 3 days ago, they were sixth in the league, and they were 100th of a point out of fifth. It was all bunched up in there. So when you look at it like that, has Larry Rothschild really done a bad job? I mean, there's a lot of guys on this staff who are pitching pretty well. Most of them are in the bullpen. And still, it comes down to guys having to perform. And the example I always use is, how many times did the Padres change hitting coaches, you know, in the first 15 years or whatever of the Petco Park era? And how did it work out each time they changed hitting coaches? The only time that they ended up with a good offense was when they got better hitters. And I think that's the key, is it's the players. And Bryce Miller wrote about this some today. Eventually, ultimately, it's the players who have to perform. Now, maybe, you know, look, if guys were grumbling about Rothschild, or if there was evidence that he was doing a bad job or he didn't know what he's doing, he's been around quite a while. He's had his pitchers have had success. It seems like the problem is more with the guys in uniform than it is with the guy who wears the brown top and sort of shuffles out to the mound, you know, a couple times a night. So that's my stance on it.
And my stance is that it's legitimate to ask.
Sure.
But if, you know, the answers are not what you wanted to hear, which is that Larry Rothschild should be tarred and feathered on his way out of town in the middle of August, and that's not good enough for you, then okay. I mean, right. You know, that's everyone's right. So,
well, you ask the pitchers, what do the pitchers say about him?
All right. So as to put that in context, pitchers are not going to rip a guy on the record.
Of course.
And look, there's a couple that maybe think, that haven't responded to him. Now, is that Larry Rothschild or is that those pitchers? Some other pitchers would tell me that's those pitchers. Mm-hmm. Larry Rothschild is not perfect, but these guys say that he is an excellent mechanical guy, and not in a tinkering way, but in a, hey, doing this, they fix it. Oh, wow, look at that. That seems like a pretty good big league pitching coach to me. His scouting reports, they say, are it depends. Some guys have had two pitching coaches. Some guys have had 5 or 10. But guys say that it's excellent and among the best, if not the best, that they've ever had. And Darren Balsley and Doug Bockler were very good at that. So that's pretty high compliment. That doesn't mean he will not be fired. There have been scapegoats before, including not counting the year that the Bud Black staff was basically cleared out. Mm-hmm. I believe it was like five of AJ Preller's first 6 years in charge. He changed hitting coaches. It happens. He's been very upfront about that. He's never used the word scapegoat, but he's all, I'm not very good at hiring hitting coaches. I'm like jokingly.
I think he wasn't very good at hiring hitters more than hitting coaches might have been the idea. And then he when you get guys like Tatis and Machado, suddenly, guys look a little better. Look, Balsley, there were a lot of guys who responded to Balsley. There were guys who didn't respond to Balsley. I mean, there were some reclamation projects they brought in here. A guy like Andrew Cashner was never, they had high hopes for a guy. He stands out. A guy like that never seemed to respond. So that's why I prefer in cases like this to look at players rather than coaches or managers or anything like that. And which isn't to say that coaches and managers couldn't do a better job, but I think you get to this level and it's pretty much you are there to perform. And some guys haven't performed well enough.
Is it possible? And I'm in awe of Blake Snell's talent. He has absolutely fantastic pitches. Is it possible that Kevin Cash knew more than us in the World Series? Is it possible that the Rays knew how to handle Blake Snell and made the most out of Blake Snell? That could be possible. But I think that, it's like a preseason top 25, right? If you're number five in the country, you're probably going to stay in the top 25 all year if you lose once or twice. You have to go undefeated if you were outside. Anyway, preseason. Yeah. We thought Blake Snell, yes, 2018 Cy Young winner. He didn't allow a run in spring training while he's throwing fastballs and hitters are getting ready. And he's going to be awesome, and he's going to learn how to go seven innings because the Padres are going to, unclip his wings and set him free. Is it possible that expectations were higher than what reality is, and that's what Larry Rothschild's paying for to some extent? That's just a question.
Well, it could be, and because the guy above Larry Rothschild that we talked about before in being the general manager gave up a lot for Blake Snell. So he obviously had very high expectations for Snell, and maybe they were too high. Maybe he believed a little too much in what Blake Snell could be as opposed to looking at what he actually was. And yeah, the Rays are a pretty smart organization most of the time. They did give up Jake Cronenworth, which probably wasn't the best thing they've ever done. But that's a pretty smart group of people there. And sometimes smart people are right a lot. Smart people also make mistakes. And I don't think there's any question AJ Preller is a smart man and a smart baseball man. But maybe he was wrong about this, or, I don't know. But I do think it's too easy to just say, well, they need to change pitching coaches. And especially when you get to this point in the season, I'm not sure that, shaking up the staff or whatever you want to do with 6 weeks, 7 weeks to go in the season is the right way to, to approach the stretch run of a baseball season.
Yeah. And it, like I said, it's possible Larry Rothschild isn't here next year. And that may or may not have to do with Larry Rothschild's ability as a pitching coach. The Yankees decided to go another direction.
Right.
I believe that Larry Rothschild has very much embraced what you know, the way the modern baseball is. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But anyway, I feel let's be very fair about Larry Rothschild.
Who has the best deals in the auto game? It's got to be Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, the Auto All-Stars. Right now, lease a new 2021 Ram 1500 Warlock Edition, Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo, or Jeep Renegade Latitude for only $198 a month, or 0% APR and no payments for 90 days. Head to Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Escondido, San Diego, where we make shopping easy. Find these deals during the Make This the Summer event today.
And now, you know, maybe we should talk about the hitting coaches after scoring 5 runs in 4 games against the Marlins and the Diamondbacks, and not getting a single hit in a game against a guy making his first major league start. Now, I did go back and look. I didn't see a lot of that game on Saturday night, but I did go back and look at some of the outs that were made and some of the exit velocities off the bat. There were several hard hit balls in that game, you know, anywhere from 98 to 100 to, I think Machado hit one at 107. At one point in the game. So the Padres, you know, look, you're always going to have to be lucky to pitch a no-hitter. I mean, Joe Musgrove gave up some hard hit balls in his no-hitter as well. You know, Tyler Gilbert looked like he got his share of luck as well. But the bottom line is, guy pitched a no-hitter, and the Padres were awful on offense for 4 straight games until, you know, breaking out yesterday when, you know, their king came back. And now they go to Coors, and we'll see. They're facing a couple of good pitchers up there in a big hitting environment, and you know, we'll see what happens. This has certainly not been a good stretch. We talked about that 13 game stretch against losing teams, and I think yesterday made them 5-5. Am I right?
I don't know, Jay. I've lost track, but it's not good. If they had lost yesterday. They were going to be 8-8 against both the Diamondbacks and the Rockies this season.
Right, right.
That's preposterous.
I think the Giants have lost twice to the Diamondbacks all season.
The Dodgers, I lose track, and you have to keep track of it every day because obviously records change and people around 500 become above 500, below. But basically, put it this way, the Dodgers and the Giants are both like 20-something games over 500 against those teams, which more than makes up for the Padres' deficit behind those teams. It's unbelievable. Last I checked, the Padres were 8 games over 500. No, 6 games over 500 against losing teams. I don't know what it is now. But it's so far away, and it will be what we remember if they are to get, you know, go to the wild card and lose or not make the playoffs. It is what we will remember. I saw that Jeff Passan put out something today about the schedule that's remaining, right, which we've all written about and stuff. But it's getting a lot of play today about how the Reds have an easier schedule than the Padres. And it's like, valid point, except the Padres have shown that really doesn't matter this year.
Yeah.
The bigger issue is the starting pitching. I mean, I honestly don't see a path for the Padres to the playoffs, but that's why I cover sports and I love sports, because maybe that, you know, they're going to win the wild card by 5 games. And that would be a great story. But right now, the starting pitching, if Blake Snell and Joe Musgrove pitch complete games for the rest of the season, the starting pitching's in a bad way.
Right. Right. No, I think that's, I think that's true. And look, we've written stories and talked about it many times about the schedule, you know, what's ahead, what they've been through this whole stretch about, you know, there were 30 or 40 games where they were playing. The A's were the only really good team they were playing, and could they take advantage of it? And the answer is obviously no, they couldn't. I mean, there's only 3 games left in that stretch. I think the Phillies might have been part of it when we first talked about it, but the Phillies have gotten better since that point. But this was the chance for the Padres to take it. If they were going to take advantage of a weak schedule, they had their chance, and, you know, they blew it. So now, if they're going to make the playoffs, it's going to have to be by beating better teams, you know, by beating good teams. I mean, the Giants and the Dodgers they play 19 times. There's 3.5 games left against the Braves. So, I can't remember who else. The Phillies, you know, obviously the Phillies for 3, but they're going to have to beat some of these teams. If they're going to hold off the Reds.
Yeah, and look no further. And look, I think it's a great signing in context But look no further than signing Jake Arrieta. They are desperate. 2 weeks ago, they would not sign or trade for a warm body. Today, they signed a warm body. That's right. Where the Padres are at. All right.
He's due to pitch Wednesday and then off on Thursday. And so we will be back on Friday to talk about the weekend ahead with the Bryce Harper and the Phillies coming to town.
Thanks, everybody.